Hi there, and welcome to the 6th Annual Transforming Toddlerhood Conference. I'm so happy you're here with us today. I'm your host, Devin Koontzman, toddler expert and the founder of Transforming Toddlerhood. I'm on a mission to dispel the myth that toddlerhood is terrible and empower parents and caregivers to overcome the challenges of toddlerhood, nurture their little one's development, and create confidence in their parenting skills. And that's exactly what we're here to do today. And I am thrilled to introduce you all to Dr. Mona Amin, pediatrician and founder of Peds Doc Talk. Welcome, Mona.
Thank you for having me and for this amazing conference that you put together, not only this year, but years past. I'm so happy to join you today.
I'm so thrilled for you to be here. And before we dive into all the great things we're talking about today, there might be some people who have never met you. So could you just take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us more about your work?
Yeah, so I am Dr. Mona Amin. Like you said, I am a board certified pediatrician. I'm mom to a toddler who is 3 years old, and I'm actually expecting a baby in June. And I love educating parents on child health, development, and parenting in those early years. So I like to focus on those first 4 to 5 years. I believe that health and development and parenting are all connected. So how to keep your child healthy and safe, keeping them connected with you, their development, it all works together. So I'm grateful to use my education and my experience as a pediatrician and now a mom of soon to be two to help so many families from birth and beyond.
I love it. And so today, the first thing I want to ask you is, what do you feel makes toddlerhood a challenging and often misunderstood developmental period?
Well, you mentioned it when you talked about your mission for this conference and your platform too, in terms of removing that stigma around toddlers that they're terrible or that they're a pain. And listen, I know you've been there, I've been there, that they have very big emotions, not listening. You have to repeat yourself, all of the things that you're like, what is going on? Can you just sit? Can you just listen? Can you just quote unquote behave? But we have to understand that toddlers are the way that they are because of their development. So I, like you, also feel like they're not terrible. We have to understand where they're coming from. And during this whole conversation that we're going to have, I am going to talk a lot about these tips to kind of stay in that moment, but it doesn't take away from the fact that I get that it's very difficult, right? I think sometimes parents feel like, well, no, I need people to know that this is very difficult. I'm like, no, I hear you. It's very hard raising children, but it's also how we approach the child. It's also how we approach ourselves with our children. So remembering that they are brilliant, they are learning so much. And I truly feel like when we start to look at children, especially our young toddlers, with that curiosity and how moments with them can actually change them and us for the better, I feel it can bring so much more perspective on the journey where you're not feeling this sort of negativity towards parenting. And you feel like, hey, I'm going to have really tough times. It's a reality with life. It's a reality with parenting, but I'm going to get to learn so much about myself and this cute, adorable little human that, yes, touches my buttons and presses them all the time and really gets me irritated, but I'm really going to learn so much about this. And I want us to meet these challenges and honestly triumphs that you're going to have in parenting with a lot of excitement. And I'm going to do this versus dread. You know, I don't want that dread for parents. And I think that's often the challenging part of parenthood and toddlerhood parenting, is how am I going to find that balance of I'm exhausted, I'm tired, but I want to learn about my kid and I want to connect more with my child. And that connection goes a long way for parental joy and also for the child's development as well.
Yes, this is so true. This mindset shift that you're talking about is so fundamental to being able to really shift how we're interacting and parenting, and also just to shift our experience of our child and of toddlerhood. Because when we can shift from I have to have it all figured out, or just trying to like make this child listen, to I'm allowed to learn, my child's learning, and I'm allowed to learn alongside my child. I say this all the time. It's like, we don't have to have it figured out. And like, parents and caregivers have permission to learn alongside their child. Then we can approach it from a place of curiosity and connection. And just that shift in approach is going to get us so much further. It might not look perfect. It might not be the exact outcome we want, but we're going to be oriented in a direction that's going to take us to that outcome we're looking for.
Yes. Oh, totally agree. I love it.
So today we're talking about mindful parenting and like kind of staying mindful in these challenging moments. So can you explain a little bit more about what mindful parenting is from your perspective?
Yeah. And, you know, I've struggled so much watching parenting education unfold on social media because I realized that many parenting accounts on social label themselves as a parenting style, right? Gentle parenting, attachment parenting, positive parenting. And although I think that this is wonderful that they stick to a style that works for them, I have found that my practice, how I practice parenting and educate, that there are so many facets of each style that comes together to explain the style I love to educate parents on, which is mindful parenting. So what is this? So mindful parenting closely embodies all of this, which basically means we are mindful of our interactions with our child, our past, our feelings, and their feelings as we parent our children without judgment. So you're not judging them, you're not judging yourself. So for example, if you yell at your child, are you terrible? No, right? I think everyone can relate to that moment when they yell at their child and then you beat yourself up over it. You're like, gosh, I can't believe I did that. Or I can't believe I made this for dinner again. We create so much judgment and self-shame for ourselves. And a mindful parent doesn't judge themselves, but is insightful in recognizing those emotions, feelings, physical feelings that can be associated and works to improve themselves, to improve relationships with others. They also realize that they have certain means, they have certain resources. Going back to that food comment, that you're not going to beat yourself up over making a certain meal over and over or repeating things because you're like, look, right now I'm in a season that I'm having difficulty and I'm just going to survival mode is where I'm at. You don't get mad at yourself. You understand the perspective and big picture for your child. So part of mindful parenting also involves recognizing quality of time is important in our child's life. And our child's life is when we are present with our child, but also making a choice to be with them fully when we are able to be with them. I work 50, 60 hours a week. So it's not like I'm having so much time with my son, but I can honestly say that I'm able to fill my cup because I'm mindful. I practice mindfulness, but I'm also filling my cup with things that bring me joy so that when I'm with my son, and hopefully with my future second child too, I'm going to be able to be present, limiting distractions, saying to myself, this is a moment for my child. From 5:30 to 7:30 every evening, we are going to have mommy, daddy, child time, and this is going to be our mindful moment. And I'm going to limit those distractions because not only does that breed quality, it shows our focus in the moment. And this is really important to that parent-child relationship, but also mindfulness, which is focusing on what's in front of you and not what's happening all around you, it creates more peace and joy. So you don't feel that pull. You don't feel like, okay, I'm with my son, but I have to think about the 10,000 other things I have to do right now, because then that just takes you away from that moment with your child, which is actually hugely important for you and can actually just bring you peace. So mindful parenting is something that had just encompasses all that together. And it's something that has brought me so much peace in motherhood, also for my husband as well, but it just brings me more joy and it brings me more passion to do the things that I do and also be a mom and be with my son. So I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I love that you're talking about this idea of quality over quantity, because I think that there is, gosh, a lot of pressure and then a lot of like guilt that follows with this feeling like I always have to be on. I always have to be on as a parent. I have to be turned on. I have to be fully engaged. I have to spend all the X amount of time with my child, like all these things we kind of like get wrapped up in, when what really matters is the quality of the time that we do get to spend. And it doesn't necessarily mean we have to be spending, you know, all day long, like super like engaged, doing everything. I just love the idea of shifting to this quality of the time together over necessarily the quantity.
And I feel like sometimes people, like whenever I talk about quality over quantity, I feel like sometimes people who, you know, maybe home more with their child will say like, well, that's something that people who work make an excuse for, that quality is more important than quantity. But even for someone who's a stay-at-home mother, right? Maybe they don't have a paid job outside of the home. This is also important for that mom too, who is basically saying, I need you to look at ways that you can be more present and filling your cup, right? For some women, that's going to be home all the time. Quality is quantity for them, but you got to look at what brings you quality. And that's going to be so different from parent to parent. Some need the breaks. Some want all the time, every moment with their child. And that goes to kind of understanding that every parenting style is different, right? Some are going to be, you need to be more hands-on. Some is like a little more space, but mindful parenting tells you, you know what? I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm giving myself space to breathe. I'm utilizing my resources when I have them, because that is huge for being able to be mindful, to have time for yourself if you can. But all of this works together to kind of create that parenting philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you feel are some common myths or misconceptions about mindful parenting?
I feel like there's a lot, but I'm going to go over a few that I think is like really important to remember. So first, I think that mindfulness in general, the concept of mindfulness, meditation, all of that gets a bad rap because people feel like mindfulness, okay, then mindful parenting, you must be the Zen meditating person every day. You have to do yoga. It's so much time to be mindful. And don't get me wrong, that stuff is really important when I talk about like mindfulness meditation and all that, but you don't have to be this yogi, this, you know, meditating guru to be able to be mindful. I used to meditate maybe 15 minutes a day, but now with the, you know, being so busy with work and my son, it sometimes is just 5 minutes of just being centered, quieting everything down in my car before pickup. You know, in the morning, I wake up 5 minutes earlier. After I brush my teeth, I sit on the counter, at the counter, and I just sit and I just am present with my breath to center myself for the rest of the day. It does not have to be long. So one of the biggest misconceptions is that I do not have time to be mindful. It's actually something you build in to your life. And when you start to do it, you're going to start to realize, well, I actually feel more at peace. Another concept is not getting on your phone right away when you wake up. Like I have a block out where I'm not able to access my phone until my son is dropped off at school, which means I can't get on Instagram. I can't check my messages. And it's so important because if you wake up your brain with a cell phone, that's going to be your mind for the rest of the day. You want to wake up with calm and peace. And we know that our children are not always going to follow that. And they're going to be loud and maybe a tantrum to start your day. But if you start your day up here, it's not going to go anywhere, right? You got to start your day with as much space as you can to handle life's ups and downs that are going to happen. So mindful parenting teaches parents to become less reactive to the challenges of parenting. So instead of allowing emotions to lead your response in a situation, mindful parenting involves making an effort to control your emotions and thoughts to respond in a positive manner. So this is what you're going to be able to do when you do all of this without having to spend so much time with the meditation. I'm not a yogi. I don't have time for it. I used to love yoga, but mindfulness is not, you have to meet checkboxes, much like any parenting style. It should not be, okay, I did my yoga, I did my meditation, now I'm mindful. It's a whole lifestyle. The second thing is mindful parenting, with a lot of parenting styles that are more calm and peaceful, can be looked at as being soft or permissive, but it's not. You know, we are understanding of feelings, but are not permissive of boundaries, similar to a lot of other parenting styles out there. So like, you know, that authoritative parenting umbrella, which basically means we set boundaries, but have compassion towards our children. It's not our way or the highway. Mindful parenting does the same in that we recognize our children are different beings from us. We're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna push things so much. We're gonna recognize when we are creating a power struggle. We're gonna recognize when, you know, is this boundary important for the family? If it's not, do I need to push it? Really realizing that is so important. The third one is, you know, mindful parenting means that you're always being present with your child. And that's not the case, as I already mentioned. You know, mindful is like, oh, you're never going to be distracted. You're always focused on your kid. I can attest to the fact that even though we have a blackout of 5:30 to 7:30 where we're not on our phones, some days I have to get on a call. Some days I tell my son, and it, you know, now he's older, so I'm able to communicate with him and say, hey, sweetie, I know we're supposed to play right now. Mommy just has to call her friend, or, you know, work person. And she's like, okay, mommy, call your friend. But it's just being understanding that sometimes it's not always going to be what your plan was, and that's okay. You know, as someone who does work a clinical job, have a business, have a partner, have a child, and is pregnant, and did IVF, which is a lot of work for anyone who's gone through it, all the appointments, I can tell you that I make every effort to limit distractions as much as possible, but sometimes it's not going to always be the case. Sometimes your brain isn't going to be in the moment. So mindfulness goes back to that thing that I'm going to try my best to be present with my child, but if moments escape me, if I yell, if I, you know, do something else where I'm like, well, I thought I would be with my son for 2 hours and then I had to get pulled away. Again, you're not judging yourself for these moments. You're making a bigger picture here of this was just one time. This is not the rule. It's just an exception, and that's okay. And then the last one, which I think is a really common one, is that because mindfulness involves a lot of calm and centering, that we never yell. I think yelling is one of those things in parenthood that just happens. And I do feel like if you're yelling more than not, we need to understand where this is coming from. But yelling happens. Even the most zen person in this world will yell, because sometimes it's very emotionally triggering what our children do, you know? But part of being mindful is recognizing that moment, saying after the fact, you know, I didn't like the way I responded there. Or even after, you know, you respond and you tell your child, you apologize to them. But even after they go to bed, really looking back at your day and saying, as a mindful parent, what brought me there? Why did I snap at my child today versus another day? Because I've always said that parenting is easy if you get good sleep, if you had connection with another human being that's an adult that, like, you know, laughed with your friends or, you know, did that. So if you slept, if you had good connection, if you exercised, if you filled your cup, you could handle anything that comes your way in parenting because you have space. But when you don't have the space, traffic, busy job, a partner argument, you don't have access to friends to communicate with, then it can feel heavy. And so part of this is realizing, well, what brought me to that spot? Is this something that's happening more often than not? Am I just constantly yelling at my kids? And if I am, having insight is part of mindful parenting and saying, what do I need to change? And sometimes as parents, we don't want to be blamed for issues, but it's not about blaming. It's about saying insightful introspection, saying, yeah, you know what? I am putting too much pressure on my child. I am yelling a little too much. And it's okay to say that because that's how we change and that's how we get better as humans and as parents, to say, yes, I am creating some of this stuff. I'm adding fuel to the fire right now. I need to learn how to regulate myself. And this is something so beautiful. And it's something that I've done even before I had my son, coming from a family that yelled, like my father, who yelled a lot. There was a lot of yelling and there was a lot of anger management that way, that for me, it was really important to go the 180 and saying, no, I don't want to be a house full of yelling. I don't want this to fill my son's memory of his childhood with a mom who's just constantly angry. And so that's why I challenge parents a lot with mindful parenting to look inside yourself and say, what are the things I can change? There has to be something. Do I need more resources? Do I need more support? Am I spreading myself too thin? Do I need to delegate things? Does that mean I have to, you know, maybe take things off my plate and say no more to social commitments, work commitments, setting boundaries with a partner who may not be helping you? This is so important so that we are able to have that empty cup to be able to handle more things thrown our way as parents. And it's so important that we realize that with mindful parenting.
Yeah, I feel like that talking about mindful parenting in this way, that we could really just exchange like mindful with the word presence. And because it's about really seeing how can I be present in this moment. And I love how you really kind of showed us the myth about, like, okay, I don't have to be a Zen Buddha master meditating on top of a hill or in a cave or, you know, something like this, that it's like really about implementing, using tools to help us become present. And that might be setting boundaries with our phone or putting, you know, a blocker on our phone, or it might be doing a meditation, or it might be setting boundaries or getting more support. But there's lots of tools that can aid us and support us in cultivating that presence in the moment.
Oh, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head right there, because it is about being present. And it's not, I think, again, there's that misconception that, well, it's hard. Like I want people to, sometimes people, I feel like they want people to know it's hard. I'm like, we know that it's hard. We know that parenthood is not this easy thing, but the goal in parenting is to provide, my goal with all parents that I meet in my office is to find more mental peace. What I mean by that is, I don't mean your life is going to be easy, because that's not life. We can't expect that everything's going to go our way. Our children are going to check the check boxes and do everything we say, but it's about saying, I can handle this, that I know that life is going to throw me a lot of lemons, but I'm going to figure out how to handle it with our children too. And part of that being present is those little moments we can find in our day to kind of say and recenter. And again, empty our cup off of all that extraneous stuff that doesn't bring us joy, brings us irritability, brings us anger, resentment, all of those feelings that serve no purpose in finding peace and joy as a parent or human.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit more about implementation. So what are your top tips for bringing more mindfulness into our parenting and caregiving, especially around a child who, let's say, like a toddler that's like really testing limits, because we know that toddlers are wired to experiment and explore, and they're wired to become their own person, their own individual, which means that they're going to experiment with boundaries and they're going to say no to try to draw the line between me and you to say, okay, I'm my own person, I'm an individual. So what tips for implementing do you have in those type of situations?
I think one of the biggest things before we get to those moments is, again, creating more space in our brain, okay, in our mental space. We already talked about from the moment you wake up, I want you to limit cell phone use. And I know this sounds like, well, how is it possible? Think about our parents' generation who did not have cell phones. They did it, so we can do it too. We don't have to get on our cell phone the first thing in the morning. You will survive. Your children are with you. You don't need to communicate with anyone outside the house the moment you wake up. You don't need to check Instagram. You don't need to check memes, nothing. So I want us to really get in the habit of putting our phone down or away until the morning routine is done. I say that because I know that the morning routine, especially if you have toddlers or older, or even a baby, is very, very busy. And it's a lot of mental stimulation. So we want to lower the mental stimulation to start our day. This is going to allow us to free up more space in our bodies, in our brain, to have more positivity. It's going to prevent you from reading negative news, negativity, because all that adds to our subconscious of, oh, wow, like I read this awful story. You can read that stuff later in your day if you need to, but you don't need to start your day with negativity. Start it with positivity. Listen to upbeat music. Listen to things that bring you joy. Listening to music does not make you happy, bring the volume down, shut volume down. You know, you don't want to be overstimulated to start your day. When we drive to a school, I listen to my music. When my son starts to scream, I want my music. I kindly say to him, it's mommy's music right now. This is my turn. And when it's done, we can play your music, right? So doing things for you, we don't have to always do things for our kids every moment, finding those little pockets. And then it's going to be throughout your day, whenever you're switching from activities. So I'm going to use a working mother example. Whenever I'm switching from business mode to being mommy mode, I just take 5 minutes before the switch just to free up my energy, because I don't know what's going to happen before I go in downstairs to my house with my son. Is he going to have a meltdown? Is he going to have a tantrum? So I need to recenter myself rather than going from busy, busy, busy to then now having to parent a child. 5 minutes in your driveway, on your drive home, before you go downstairs and relieve your partner, nanny, grandma, whoever it is, take the 5 minute break. 5 minute breaks mean that you are going to get a moment for yourself. I encourage you again not to go on a cell phone. I want you to really be with yourself, whether it's listening to music, taking those deep breaths where you feel it in your belly. I want you to do that so that you can center yourself, so that now you can handle the moments that we're getting into, which is when they're testing limits. All that is important because that brings us to here. When your child is testing limits, I have a lot of mantras and things that I tell myself before I even get there. I've already kind of created this in my head. But in the moment when you're feeling dysregulated and you're feeling like, oh my gosh, how many times do I have to tell you? I want you to tell yourself these things. We will get through this moment. This is one moment in our journey together. So these are all things I want you to remind yourself. And you can say, you're not saying this to your child, you're saying this to yourself. This moment does not define my child. I can't control how my child is responding in this moment, but I can control how I respond. Part of mindfulness is understanding that we are not in control of anybody else's actions, words. The only person we can control in our life is ourselves and our reactions. So that is an important one for me. I'm in control of my feelings. My child is human. I'm human and we get upset. I am human and I'm aware that this is an uncomfortable situation for me, but I am in control of my reaction. My child is having big emotions and I get to be the one to guide them. I'm so lucky that I get to be the one to show them regulation. I get to be the one to show them how to cope with these big emotions. And when you start to tell yourself these things during it, like that once, that semi-second before you even attend to a tantrum, you are going to take a glass of water. You're going to tell yourself one of these mantras. You're going to say to yourself, I'm going to handle this and I'm in control of my response right now. I can't control my child yelling and screaming at this moment, but how he or she or they see me now is going to be how they learn for the rest of their life that this parent of mine is the one that's going to teach me regulation. And when you do that, take that moment, you're going to be able to kind of really start to handle it with repetition. All this isn't an overnight thing. You can't expect to say this once and then all of a sudden you're the Zen master. It's about saying it and believing it. And that's how we talk about understanding our children are going to test our limits and saying, hey, look, I am the leader here of this situation. I got you. You're safe. I'm safe. And this is just a moment in time. We are going to get through this together. And we've all been there. You know that these tantrums end. You know that there's going to be smiles again. This is not unusual, but you got to remember those smiles when you are in the depths of testing limits. They do listen. They do. It's like we tend to say, they don't do this. They don't do this. They don't do this. They're never doing this. But I can attest to the fact that they actually do have it if you look for it. You just got to search for it. And you got to tell yourself that these difficult moments, if I can get through it, I'm going to teach my child something, and then we're going to be able to have long-term success in the relationship, in co-regulation, which is what the goal is.
Absolutely. And it takes practice. I think this is the biggest thing that I want everyone to know is that it takes practice. And in a world now where everything is at our fingertips, you know, we have Amazon like delivering it like 5 hours later, and we have, you know, our phones, and we can just have so much like just instant gratification that our brains are really wired for that. So it can feel super frustrating when we try something once, twice, even three times, and we're like, whoa, why isn't this working? Why am I not calm yet? Why is my child? And it can really feel defeating. And I just want to like reiterate, it takes practice, and practice makes progress. That's what we say at Transforming Toddlerhood. Practice makes progress, not perfection. And so when implementing these mantras and these different breaks and things like that, and working in the moment with a child, we have to remember practice makes progress, and it's practice because, and it's okay that it doesn't look perfect, but I just feel like it's such an important thing to talk about because it can feel discouraging when we try something a few times and then we're like, wait, I'm failing at this, or my kid's failing at this, and everything just feels like a failure.
Yeah. And I think that concept of our generation having instant gratification is right on. I see it in healthcare too, right? With like, well, my kid needs to be better. I have to go to work. I'm like, that's not how the human body works. That's not how the child's developing brain works with certain behavior modifications. And, you know, I also understand that when you have comparison, right? Meaning social media, people sharing like, oh my God, I implemented this and my kid got it in 2 days. Like, you know, everything, sleep, potty training. Oh, 3 days, 3-day method. I'm like, y'all, like, it may work for some children, but we got to respect the fact that not every child is going to follow suit, and that's okay. It's not like your child is a failure for not meeting certain things at a certain time frame, or that it takes time for, like you said, for us to meet all of these goals that we want to meet. It's a journey together. It's such a beautiful thing. And when we can start to lay off that pressure of a timeline in terms of not only development, but also in terms of behavior, right? Like, my child needs to finish this by this time. My child needs to write this by this age. He needs to do this. She needs to do this. It creates so much pressure. And we know that that pressure backfires, right? We put so much pressure on ourselves, subsequently put so much pressure on our children, and they can sense that. Power struggles ensue. It's not going to be good for anybody. So it's really about being mindful, using that word again, being present in that moment of understanding that this is a moment, my child is unique, and I am on a journey with my individual child. You know, I'm pregnant with number two. I already recognize that this is going to be a completely different journey. Just because I know parenting, just because I know everything about sleep, feeding, da-da-da, that I talk about with my son and with other families, I know that I'm going to have to look at this new child and say, what are your needs? What do you need from me? What can I guide you on, versus trying to fit the baby into a hole. Like, okay, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and we got to sleep train by this, and we got to feed you this. Nope. I know all of the things out there. I'm going to guide you. You're going to help me lead the show also. And we're going to get through this together. It's such a team effort. And so realizing that is such an important quality.
Yes. Really looking at how can we partner with our children. And by partner, it doesn't mean that everyone's equal and that, you know, in the sense of like that a child can just run the show. Yes, we're the adult. Yes, we still need to be in charge, and we can still be in charge and be a partner with a child and really look at how we can have them feel us as a partner or someone that's on their team. And we're going to get so much further in the direction that we want to go when we're able to meet a child where they're at and really bring forth that connection, even in the challenging moments, because we can connect with the child without condoning the behavior. It's going to get us so, so much further. I'm curious, do you have some other tips that you'd like to share with us about mindful parenting in terms of implementing in some other challenging moments, like tantrums, or just how we can remain calm when we feel ourselves getting triggered? Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I think, you know, we encompass so much of that. I think one of the biggest things of this mindfulness concept is having some more self-compassion and grace for yourself. I think we talk a lot about having grace, but I don't think many people practice it, especially mothers. And that goes along the lines of comparing ourselves to others, feeling like we got to meet these checkboxes. So my advice is remember that you are human, and remember that although people can relate to your parenting journey, no parent is alike to another parent, right? We all have different pasts. We all have different upbringings. We all have different resources. At any given moment, you are not like another parent completely. I think we can all relate to the fact that we all share similar struggles, right? Maybe we're dealing with tantrums, financial things, whatever it is, people do share similar struggles in this world, but your reality is your reality. So that means you have to practice parenting and focus on your trajectory, focus on your growth, how it is determined by you, your resources, and your relationship with your child. So remember that you're human. Part of this whole concept is remembering that we are human, we have emotions, that this is not something that's going to define me. We tend to get so upset, you know, our child throws a public tantrum, we get mortified, embarrassed that, oh, people are going to judge me. You know the kind of parent you are, you know the things that you need to work on, and you work on them, right? This doesn't mean that you just say, okay, fine, you all deal with me. No, it's saying, you know what? My kid is having a lot of public tantrums right now. What is going on? Am I not maybe doing enough preparation? Am I not doing things maybe around the schedule? What should I do to look into this, right? It's not like saying, well, everyone deal with me, fine. It's saying introspection. And for me, one of the biggest things that we can have to provide more mindfulness is not only this compassion for ourselves, saying that I'm human, I'm going to get through this. It's also that insight into understanding what I know and what I don't know. And it's also humility in saying, I'm not perfect, and it's okay to not be perfect. I actually love that I'm not perfect. Do I know things about various things in health and development and all that? Yes, but even though I know these things, I'm, like I said, with my second child coming, I'm humble enough to know that with children, you can't always predict how life's going to turn out, how they're going to turn out, what their growth is going to be, what their development's going to be. There's so much unknown in the world, in life, and in parenting. So I really want you to kind of just let go of that control. When I say that, I'm saying to you, I want you to research the things that are important to you, take control of what you can. But at the end of the day, if you're feeling power struggles within yourself, if you're feeling power struggles with another partner or with a child, I need you to step back and say, is this a value? Is this something that's really important to me in parenting? Is this something that I can maybe reevaluate, maybe step back a little bit? Do I need to communicate more boundaries? And that's such an individual thing. We can't sit here and tell you, oh, don't do that, don't do this. You got to really respect and say, here's what I need to look at in my parenting journey, with my relationship with my partner, with my relationship with my child, to bring me, like I said from the beginning, more peace and actually find more joy in this journey rather than filling it with anger, dread, resentment. Those are not feelings I want to be the predominant emotion in parenthood. I don't mind that they happen because we all have been there, but I don't want it to be what controls your entire parenthood, that you 5 years go by, 10 years go by, and you're like, what just happened? I wasn't even there for my kid, even though I was physically there. That's what I'm trying to create with this mindful parenting, in that I want us to remember our children. I want us to remember these years as maybe difficult, maybe hard, but there was joy. There were moments that were beautiful, and I got to see my child develop this way or learn a skill, and he or she is so smart, and I'm really proud to be on this journey with them.
What I hear you really saying is that we're human beings. We're human beings, our kids are human beings, and we're going to have the full spectrum of emotion. We're going to feel challenge, you know, feel big emotions. We're going to feel sadness. We're going to feel anger. We're going to feel joy, and that is okay. So it's okay to have the challenging moments. It's also okay to see the joyful moments as well. And to understand that we're going to have both because we're human beings, we're not robots and our kids aren't robots. So we're going to have all of these experiences. And that is part of the beauty and the challenge of parenting and of life and everything. So I love that message that you're sharing. I'm curious for parents and caregivers that are watching and they're like, okay, so I really want to incorporate more mindfulness into my parenting to create a shift. What would you say is one thing they can do today when they are finished watching this session that they can do just to move the needle 1%?
One thing I will say is definitely follow my account and all the resources I have. I also will have a handout available, which we'll talk about. That's definitely going to help. But one thing I want you to do is take a moment over the next week to journal and write down things. When we talk about the insight introspection that I mentioned about, I want you to write down things that are on your mind as a parent right now that give you anxiety, give you grief, give you resentment, all the feelings that are those big feelings that you feel are removing the ability to stay more present in your life and also your child's life. I want you to write those things down. And then I want you to just write a list and then also write a counter to it, which means when you look at this, you're going to say, let's use an example that I've done in the past with my dog. Okay. My dog has given me a lot of grief in terms of when he has accidents, it's very stressful to me. I used to get very stressed by my dog having accidents around the house. And so a reframing exercise was writing that down. My dog Shiloh has a lot of accidents and it gives me a lot of stress. And I don't know how to handle it. And then you reframe it and you say, what is something that that experience is teaching you? What is something that experience you can learn something from? What is something that that experience, if you want to reframe it? So I started to say, although this is happening, he has these accidents. He's a wonderful, loving dog. He has been with us through so much. He's always so understanding when I need him. So you really want to start to get into the practice of looking at all the things that are causing you stress, anxiety, worry, reframing it, figuring out how am I going to create a plan where this is not going to be the dominant emotion? Do I need to see a therapist? Do I need to talk to my partner about utilizing excess resources? Do we need to hire help, someone to help me clean the house, someone to help me do this that I'm not taking on so much and I feel supported? So to me, that is the first step, because we can't just go into mindfulness and say, here I am. We got to realize what are the things that are not serving us? What are the things that are giving us a lot of stress and worry and anxiety or frustration or anger? Because those feelings, although those are human feelings and are normal, and I love to experience those things from time to time, I don't want those to be the dominant emotion. So that is going to be really important for us to do, doing the inner work. Why do you think this is happening? What can bring you more mindfulness and awareness today by looking at all those things and then implementing the things that I mentioned about, you know, being more mindful when you start your day. Hopefully when you end your day too, you're not on your cell phone. I keep going back to cell phones because cell phones are like the antithesis to mindfulness. Like, you can't be mindful if you're on your cell phone all the time. You have to have boundaries, because the way the phone is set up, it's that what we talked about already, that instant gratification, that sort of give me more dopamine release. That is not what mindfulness is about. So although I use my social media a lot for my business, I'm really big on shutting it down in the evening, not being on it in the morning. And it has provided me a lot of peace and better sleep, which sleep is also really important for all of this too, which I know is hard to come by as a parent.
so true. Well, our time's coming to a close, and I know that you do have a gift you'd like to offer everyone. Could you tell us more about that?
Yes, we'll attach the link, but I'm going to have basically a free handout that's going to go over tips to staying mindful during your child's tantrums. It's going to include some of the mantras that I mentioned already in this conversation, but also some things to remember to start your mindfulness practice as a parent. And also, it was written in a way to normalize that we do not have all the time in the world, but why this stuff is important to create more peace and joy in parenthood.
Love it. Awesome. And where can everyone go to learn more?
Yes. So Peds Doc Talk, PedsDocTalk. My Instagram is my hub, so you can check me out there. I am on TikTok recently. And then my website, www.pedsdoctalk.com. Through the website, you'll be able to access podcasts from the Peds Doc Talk podcast, my YouTube channel, Peds Doc Talk TV, as well as any course offerings that we have for our platform. So all that is where you can go to check us out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all of your expertise and your enthusiasm and for the work that you're doing every day supporting parents and caregivers out there. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was so nice chatting with you today and being here.
Thank you. And to everyone watching, we'll see you again soon. Bye.